Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Wednesday, October 14th, 2015. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Wendy Wilson will be joining us here in just a little bit right after the market report, and then in the second segment of the program today, we're going to talk about why gold had a great day. It's up 1980 currently, the New York spot aftermarket price at 1189.70. Touched a high of 1191. Silver up 26 at 1626. And platinum was up $11 at 1004, with palladium up 19 also at 704. And what's interesting, it actually happened, this afternoon sometime. It wasn't this morning. You had the dollar drop 0.88 at 93.90. I was following that all day, and it just hovered around that 94 and a half level, and then just something, boom, just brought it down. And we'll talk about that in the second segment today. Crude oil today was bound down 0.06 at 46.60. And the paper markets, though, today, a little pressure on those. We had the Dow was down 157 points at 16,924, breaking back down that 17,000. The NASDAQ down 13 at 4782, and the S&P down 9 at 1994. 10-year yield 0.07 at 1.98, breaking that 2%. Euro, almost equal what the dollar dropped today, 1.15 up 0.83. And foreign markets were all down over 1%. The Asian and the European markets were all down. So lots to discuss today, so make sure you stay tuned. And we'll be talking about all these numbers in the second segment. But first, we have Wendy Wilson joining us from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody. And hello, Al.
How you doing, Wendy?
I'm good. I thought we'd talk about some of the salary changes that are going to be happening in the healthcare industry. They've started overseas, but they will be migrating across the water to us because we are on this healthcare system that's going to be global eventually. Of course, our financial experts, you've probably heard, say this is not a sustainable system. But, European healthcare is promoted as free. It's a one-payer system. It's a single-payer system. So what exactly do the people over there get there? What do they get with free health care? What does it entail? Well, I mean, to have free services, Al, Melanie, you would agree that, you know, to have services and products for free, you know, it has to be funded from some source, and usually those sources are from taxes and withholding money from payroll. So we're going to take a look and see what the recent changes are taking place over across the pond in the UK, which may eventually come here to the United States. So in Europe, the medical practitioners there are about to have the playing field of salary severely leveled. The government there is preparing to mandate employee hours and pay involving a six-day work week with 13-hour shifts with 20-minute breaks every 6 hours. And a pay cut's also in the mix. Currently, the average doctor over there makes around $113,000 a year. However, the government, with its new contract, would cut that annual salary to an average health professional to about $30,000 to $40,000 annually. This is considered a junior doctor's pay, and the mandates are mainly targeted at entry-level physicians because the senior physicians are starting to retire or they're moving to consultant status only. Okay, so now how selfless do you think a health professional is going to be and work long hours and stay when it's needed, when they're barely scratching by, right?
I understand.
Okay. So
does this mean they can't play golf on Wednesdays?
Yeah. Well, you know, as the governments go about to equalizing pay, the employees will also have, get this, no rights. They will have no automatic pay raise to keep up with inflation. They will have no overtime or weekend pay. They will have no maternity or sick leave. Goodness. This is how you make it a free healthcare system, Al.
Yeah, it's so, free if you can find any.
Right. Well,
you know,
now the politicians,
what it really means is you are going to see there are going to be a lot less healthcare professionals. There's going to be a lot less healthcare. That's what's going to happen here.
I know. Now the politicians are working on this mandate as a contract in the healthcare industry in the UK, including dentistry. And then they plan to use this model for other market sectors. So the socialized utopia is where everyone will have the same equal lifestyle, supposedly. Now, UK Parliament has presented this new health professional contract, and any physician that would attempt to leave active healthcare, that healthcare field of work, they say that they will be severely discriminated against. Hmm? So, I mean, if you wanted to leave and go into research, they're gonna get it. You're gonna get it, apparently. Now, as in,
what if you want to leave and move to the United States, for example?
Yeah, you probably get a black eye. Yeah, a professional black eye is a coming. Mm-hmm. Now, it's anticipated that the new regulations will be strictly enforced. So I hope if you need a doctor, they're not on their 20-minute break. So this is a healthcare system that's is severely going to be at risk, as you mentioned. Any profession where staff are overworked and underpaid is going to fail. So, the government's cost-saving strategies, in order to make healthcare free, will make healthcare too risky to use. Here's a quote from Dr. Andrew Collier. He's the co-chair of the British Medical Association Junior Doctors Committee. He says this, "We urge the government not to impose this contract that is unsafe and unfair. We will resist a contract that is bad for patients, bad for junior doctors, and bad for the national healthcare system," end of quote. So there's this real struggle going on over there. And in light of the new restrictions on the European healthcare professionals, you know, it's a wonder that the physician recruitment has dropped 50%, right?
Yep.
Right. Okay, so the healthcare might be free, but who's going to doctor the patients, as you pointed out? What, robots? You know? Kiosks? Computers?
We can send a nurse around once a week to change their bedpans.
Yeah.
It's going to get messed.
Here's what an anonymous junior doctor over in England said. He says, "None of us feel we need to be paid more. We already work far longer than our allotted hours for free as patient care requires it. We just don't want extreme cuts to our salaries." Junior doctors reacted with absolute horror to this imposition of the new terms and conditions, end of quote. Well, yeah, how do you go from 113 down to 40 grand, really?
I'm not sure how the education system works in Europe, but are they borrowing money to get through med school?
Yes, they are. Yes.
Then they're not going to be able to pay it off. Their
right.
business model was I was going to make $100,000 a year in X and pretty quick, and now they're finding out they're going to make a third of that, and they'll never get to 100 grand a year.
Right.
How do you pay off the loan?
I know, because what's happening across the pond in Europe could come to the United States. I want you to notice that free healthcare in the UK shows us the efficiency standards are collapsing. Surgeries are being canceled, and waiting lists are getting longer. Hospitals are now forced to hire expensive temps or inexperienced and uneducated employees to fill positions. So how do you offer free healthcare with no staff? And when governments mandate
you can recruit the Muslims. You got all the Muslims invading the country. They'll work cheap. Give them a sword and get some Christians to lay down on the operating table, and they'll handle it.
Yeah. Well, when governments mandate something for free, it's really unfair to the ones who have to pay. So patients pay with regards to long wait times and not being seen in a timely manner or at all. Patients pay when staff is undertrained or negligent. Patients pay when they are denied treatment. And I think Obama calls this economic patriotism, by the way. So a free healthcare system eventually works out to be an unfair mistake, and the morale of the doctors in the UK is really taking a dive. They feel they're really under attack by the very system they work for. And here's another quote from one of the junior physicians over there. He says, junior doctors are working longer hours as they make their way in medicine and have reacted with fury, with some claiming they have been shafted by the UK Health Secretary, Jeremy Hunt. Oh, and I want to get into Mr. Hunt here. As the UK braces for an exodus of professionals leaving healthcare, I think the US needs to be prepared for the same. So at any moment, Congress can add new mandates to that more than 1,100 pages of the Affordable Care Act. And health professionals in the US could find themselves being pressured between both sides of the industry, you know, the insurance companies and what government may allow them to earn. So there are rumors in the UK that the National Health Secretary, Jeremy Hunt, may have a physician strike on his hands with 53,000 doctors walking off the job. You know, this is bad.
I understand. Go ahead. Excuse me.
I know. So where does this leave patients in a free healthcare system then, right? So it said that Mr. Hunt is taking a step back from his tyrannical contract to let things cool off. Hunt is also blaming the unions, the British Medical Association, for exaggerating the pay cuts. But newspapers overseas state Hunt now is thinking of removing the pay cuts for now. But you know how this works, Melanie and Al. These socialists work, they'll be back with more mandates, disguised as provisions after they line up support in high places. That's how they operate. So now here's the other thing we have to consider with the United States. We have this North American continent thing, removing all the borders. Donald Trump, if he becomes president, he may not get to build his wall because of what George Bush signed into law, that the borders between Canada and Mexico are going away. So this socialized global structure has been in the making for a while, and according to the Pew Research Center, in 1934, Al, Americans had approximately 20% of their pay taken from them by government. In 2014, that amount for the majority was 40%. So this is how you pay for free health care. So
it's higher than that. It's higher than 40% when you take into consideration. You got state, local, federal, and
I'm talking about withholding, you know.
Okay. All right.
From paycheck. So yeah, when you add your property tax, your everything else, yeah, you're over the 50%. Now, there is whispers on Capitol Hill that say 40% is not enough and the government wants to increase that withholding tax to 50% in the future. Not sure when, but that's what the whispering is. Now, in 2013, Americans earning $250,000 paid 48.9% in income tax. And that's a big indicator. Nothing's free, not groceries and not health care, right?
Well, unless you're an illegal alien. They
right.
get a certain amount of services for free. I'm sure that the Muslims that are invading Europe, they're going to get free medical care.
Oh, yeah.
But the rest of the people who live there, no, it's not going to be free for them.
No. Well, here's what Senator John Sununu once said. He said, the precise point at which a tax deduction becomes a loophole or a tax incentive becomes a subsidy, also known as a bribe, for special interests is one of the great mysteries of politics. There's no mystery.
No, there's no mystery here. Here's the mystery, if there's any mystery at all. Are governments simply so stupid that they think they can do this and get away with it? Or do they intend to see people die? Because that's what's going to happen. You're going to diminish the available supply of health care, and there's a bunch of people that are going to need it, and there's not going to be a doctor or something to take care of them, and they're going to die. That's what's going to happen.
Absolutely. I used to work in the field of medicine, and, you know, we have to remember, you know, when scales eventually become one-sided, the programs collapse under the strain. Now, Canada, Australia, the UK, they all have this single-payer healthcare system, which the United States is wanting to work towards. And those,
you mean by single-payer, you mean that the government pays all
right.
medical bills. And then
right.
it's up
There's
to the government to get the money out of the people. And the problem with that is the government will, they'll pay a bill for $100, but they'll want to tax the public $200 and keep $100 for themselves.
Exactly. So, yeah, you've got a healthcare system that will not do well at all, and that's what you're seeing over in the UK. And it's primed for theft and you know, corruption. But, hey, you know, when I was working, I used to work for a neurosurgical group of physicians. There were seven of them. And every one of those doctors would get job offers pretty regularly in the mail, offering them $500,000 a year in salary, and they would throw them in the trash because they were making more than that. So if the government feels they earn too much, do you think a neurosurgeon's going to do brain surgery for $100,000 or less a year? No, I can tell you their cars cost more than that. So, you know, to become a neurosurgeon, it's a pretty grueling program to master. And in a free healthcare, when they want to make all doctors paid the same, that's not going to fly. That's just not going to, who's going to do operating then, you know?
Well, maybe it'll be something for retired politicians. People we elect, they get thrown out of office, we can put them to work as surgeons. And especially work on their own constituents. Come on back. Congressman so-and-so got voted out. He's going to be our new surgeon. And here, lady, you voted for him. He's going to work on your heart.
Well, I just think, you know, health is not a part of life. It is life. And so individual responsibility to health is going to become more important as time goes on. And everyone needs a doctor for trauma, but not everyone needs a doctor for common illnesses. So I think we need to prepare to pick up the slack as healthcare becomes single-payer and more free, you know, free if you dare. So I encourage people to protect themselves. I encourage them to get off, if they're on lifelong drugs, they are hostage to that drug. I encourage them to look at their options to wean off of that and replace that with something that'll strengthen their system. And if they need help doing that, or if they want some cleansing to remove toxins and immune boosting to improve health, give us a call at Apothecary Herbs. Toll free number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or on the web, thepowerherbs.com.
All right, Wendy, thanks very much. It's always interesting information, and this is especially, you can just see what's going to happen to healthcare if this spreads from Europe to the United States. Do you think it's going to come to this country in three years?
Oh, yeah, it's
within
on its
3 years?
Well, I mean, they're already talking about, you know, the medical professionals making too much, and you've got a lot of doctors retiring early. I think they see the thing coming. So they'll either go into research or operate a clinic somewhere else. It won't be here in the U.S.
Right across the border in Mexico. It'll be all Juarez and the rest of them. You go across the border, you got the illegals coming in, and you got the patients going south. Get some medical care in Mexico. We're going to take a break for some commercial announcements. Wendy Wilson is speaking to us from thepowerherbs.com. Her number is 866-229-3663. Look forward to talking to you next Wednesday. We're going to be back in just a moment. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
Have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom Financial Survival. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
I want to remind the listeners to visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter, and you can listen to the program archived and live right from the website. So make sure you get on there and read what we have there. If you're a new investor of gold and silver, if you have any questions, make sure you call us. We'd be more than happy to help you along and help you make an informed decision on the product that you need to so desperately need to have in order to protect your purchasing power against the things that we talk about here on a daily basis. And certainly we saw a lot of pressure on the dollar. We had gold today, Al. It reached a 3.5-month high. You had retail sales, and the Federal Reserve released some data today. Plus, we had the slumping U.S. dollar, and that kind of all worked in favor of the precious metals. I think there's something else going on, but you know, we can look to those as information that was released that could have had the impact. But certainly the falling dollar was probably the major one. And a retail sales report for September both fell. Retail sales came in at 0.1%. It was expected to be 0.2 versus the 0.2 in August, so it dropped. And so, I mean, that wasn't really anything, you know, drastic or anything to see such pressure on the dollar. So it'll be interesting to see what unfolds as we head along.
I've been arguing for, you know, a year, looking at the positive, and more than that, I've been arguing that the government can't withstand deflation. And when the dollar goes up on the dollar index, that's the deflation. The dollar becomes more valuable, at least at the international level. Not necessarily true in the domestic level, but internationally, the dollar grows more valuable. Well, that's got to hurt anyone who is paying a debt that's been incurred in dollars, right? Because they're paying off with more expensive dollars. And I've said for a long time, the government's the biggest debtor in the world, and its debts are all denominated in dollars. If we go into deflation, it increases the actual value of the national debt. They admit to $18 trillion. Mm-hmm. If we have 10% deflation, if we had that, and I'm just using that number just to make the point, make it easy enough where I can handle it mathematically, it adds $1.9 trillion or $1.8 trillion to the national debt in terms of purchasing power. It still says $18 trillion, but the purchasing power is increased by 10%. It means they're paying off with more expensive dollars, and they can barely stand to pay off the debt they've got with cheap dollars. My point being that the government has to begin to knock the dollar index down and get back into inflation in order to pay off its debts with cheaper dollars. How soon they're going to do that, I don't know, but maybe we're seeing that right now.
Well, I think there's a lot of things that are contributing to put pressure on the dollar. I mean, certainly, our stronger dollar had benefits for the European market, but their markets, their economic news coming out of the European Union was disappointing today. China's numbers are disappointing. I mean, there's no good news anyway. All the numbers are dropping. And certainly your multinational corporations, they're complaining because of the stronger dollar. And it's just a matter of fact that as long as you're, I mean, this is simple, but as long as we're on a fiat currency, you're going to have inflation. I don't care if we have little separate little bouts of various degrees of inflation and deflation. Long term, it's coming. You're going to lose purchasing power with the way our system has been abused, the way it has been designed and the way it has been abused. And it won't change no matter what happens in between, no matter how much money they print, no matter how much they manipulate any one of these markets. I mean, the currency market is the biggest market ever. I mean, you know, there's billions and dollars made on that, trillions probably in the currency exchange markets. And so it's just not gold and silver that is rigged. All of these markets are rigged. But I think also what we might be seeing is perhaps this cheap oil, some of these, the banks. And the banks just finished reporting their quarter numbers this week. And they're now, you know, there's a lot of red flags about, you know, the loans. Well, we've talked about this before. Greg Hunter was on here talking about how these, you know, things are going to be needed to be collateralized and where there's going to be fire sales everywhere. And I think we're beginning to see this also. And I think maybe that's why we saw pressure on the dollar. And but you have Wells Fargo said today it was forced to set aside more cash to cushion against potential commercial defaults due to the deterioration in the energy sector. Bank of America reported it may need to set aside an additional 15% to deal with troubled commercial loans, specifically in its oil and gas portfolio. JP Morgan boosted its oil and gas loan loss reserves by about $160 million last quarter. Now, they're going to come out and tell you and say, hey, this is not a repeat of the subprime crisis, and it doesn't seem to pose the same sort of threat to the big banks. And I say, oh, really? Absolutely it does, because you have all of these derivatives and everything tied to it. And we're just not talking about a subprime homeowners problem here in the United States. This problem with the oil is worldwide. That's the problem. All of these banks, all of these banks in every country is feeling the impact of the lower oil prices. So, yeah, these banks have to set aside more money. And more than $200 billion worth of oil and natural gas assets are for sale globally as these companies are coming under renewed financial pressure. There are about 400 buying opportunities as of September, and this was released by a Bob Freiland that that deals with this business. And so you're going to see more and more of these deals accelerate later this year and into 2016 as you have these companies that are selling their assets to meet their debt requirements.
Well, what are they selling their assets for?
To meet their debt requirements.
No. What I mean is this. Are they selling it for paper dollars or are they selling it for digital dollars? There's not enough paper dollars is the point I'm going to try to make on this. And we've talked a little about this in the past. There's perhaps as little as one paper dollar for every $500 in digital currency that's out there and the paper debt instruments like stocks, bonds, risk, that sort of thing. If people go into a panic mode, we talk about bank runs, and we've seen it. Frank Capra, the movie It's a Wonderful Life. Frank Capra back in the 1940s, 1952, if I remember correctly. Jimmy Stewart starred in it with, I can't think of the lady's name. She had her own TV series later on, the rest of that. But in any case, they have a bank run, and everybody comes to the bank, and what do they want? They want their cash. They want to get their money out of the bank, and they don't want it in digital form because they couldn't in the Frank Capra film, but they don't today. They won't want it in digital. They're not going to take a little card and say, well, put all my digits on this magnetic strip on my little MasterCard here so I can go out and spend it. They won't trust the system. If there's a bank run, they want to get their money out of the system. That means they want to do something that's not banking. They don't want to just go in there and get more digital. They want cash, but there's not enough cash to satisfy everyone in the event that there is a significant bank run. It doesn't exist. And there's part of the problem. What are people going to do? They go to the banks. If they lose confidence in the system and they go to the bank and say, I'd like to withdraw, $50,000 out of that I have in my bank account. Right now, they'll tell you we need, or at least some of the banks will tell you they need a 24-hour notice before they'll let you take more than $10,000 out of the bank. And in the event that there is a significant number of people that are starting runs on J.P. Morgan Chase, another one on Bank of America, and the thing, it looks like it's starting to get legs, if you have a 24-hour delay before people can pull all their cash out of the bank, in that time, in that 24-hour delay, it'll be possible for the president to declare a bank holiday and shut all the banks down where nobody can get anything out of the banks. And the point I'm trying to illustrate is that if the time arrives when people lose confidence in their particular bank, and more importantly, in the banking system, they are going to want to get their wealth into some tangible form. And the first thing they're going to look for is paper dollars. That's foolishness in my opinion, but nevertheless, it's the way it's what will happen. And then when they find out there aren't enough paper dollars, they're going to want gold and silver. They're going to want something other than digital dollars. And when that happens, you're going to see the prices for stocks and the prices for bonds are going to fall to the floor. And there are going to be people saying, listen, I've got to get my wealth out of this. I got 100,000 shares of IBM, and I've got to get my money out of there. Something. And they'll be desperate, and they will sell that stock for pennies on the dollar. And they may sell it for gold on the dollar, all right, or silver on the dollar, just to get out from the losses that they are perhaps going to experience. And, So the point of all of this is there's not enough paper around. There's not enough paper dollars around for people to withdraw all the money out of their bank accounts. The only thing they can do is move your digital dollars from the bank of J.P. Morgan Chase to the Bank of America or to some other bank. But you're still going to be in the system. There isn't a way out of the system because there's not enough cash to leave it. All right? You'll be in the system, you'll be caught, you'll be trapped, and whatever happens after that is, you know, get yourself a prophet or someone with a crystal ball, but it's going to be messy in the people that are hanging on to those paper investments, whether they're bank accounts, pension accounts, stocks, bonds, paper debt instruments. The moment is approaching when they're going to find out those paper debt instruments are hazardous to your financial health. And the implication is that if you agree with that analysis, then you got to start dumping some of your paper now and getting into something tangible before the stuff hits the fan. That's the implication. Now, is it going to hit the fan? Can't tell you that for a fact. We don't know. But it certainly looks like it. And almost everyone who looks at it agrees we're going to see significant trouble. Although, are we going to see it next month? Or are we going to see it next year? When are we going to see the trouble, Melody?
It's fast approaching.
I think so, too. I think it's more likely to be, you know, within a month
later
than it is to be over a year from now.
Mm-hmm. And
that doesn't
always
mean it's going to happen within a month. I just mean in terms of probability, more likely that it's going to happen in the month of 2015 than it is that it will wait until the November of 2016. But we'll watch. We'll see. And everybody, this is part of the same idea that Wendy was talking about. You have to start taking personal responsibility for your health. You're going to also have to take personal responsibility for your financial affairs. You are going to be forced to make choices, and you're going to be forced to bet your wealth and your future on the choices you make. And a lot of people, the idea of taking responsibility for their health, taking responsibility, personal responsibility for their wealth, is scary. And people don't want to take that responsibility. They're afraid, oh my gosh, if I do something, I might lose everything. Yeah, that's true. You might.
And if you don't
And if you don't do something, you might lose everything too. And so, you know, we're in a situation where everyone's going to have to take responsibility here. But you can look, worst case scenario. Let's suppose you took your wealth that you are currently storing in paper debt instruments and digital accounts, and you took some of that wealth, or, you know, some significant portion, and you moved it into something tangible. Maybe you moved it into cash, maybe you moved it into gold, maybe you moved it into silver. What's the worst case scenario? It's almost certain that you'll get your wealth back. You might overreact right now, and maybe it turns out 60 days, 90 days, we all have a big laugh, and we say, oh, everybody thought the market was going to collapse, and didn't happen. Maybe so, but you still got, you're not out much. On the other hand, if you wait until the trouble hits the fan, and then you start trying to withdraw your wealth, convert it from your digital and paper debt instruments into something tangible, you're going to be too late. Right? There's a risk here. You might lose a little bit. Convert into cash, convert into gold, convert into silver. Maybe. Maybe you lose a little bit. Maybe you make a profit off the deal. But if you sit on those paper debt instruments, digital and paper, you're going to hang on to them, you're going to lose your assets or most of those assets before this is done.
Well, you know, I share this story with a lot of my clients, and I talk to them about, yeah, I was in paper once. I used to play options in gold, you know, prior to 2008, 9, and 10, and did quite well. And someone said to me, you know, we could be making a lot of money, and if we go to liquidate, there's a lot of things that could prevent us. It could take years of litigation to get our money, and we might only get 10% of it or 20% of it. And I never played again. And I never went back into the options market. It's like, yeah, you're right. And we look at Gerald Celente. He got caught. He got caught in paper, and he lost. He lost a lot. So
100 grand or something like that.
Yeah, so that's what happens when you hold it in paper. You can go to liquidate, and your paper is only as good as whom you're liquidating it with. And we saw what happened to these, you know, too big to fail banks, you know, and most of them, you know, a lot of these little brokerage houses and so forth, they don't have the liquidity to pay you. So we're heading to breakout.
Well, that's what we're talking about. That's the fundamental idea. Yeah, we're going to get to break here in just a moment. Well, the fundamental idea is there's not enough cash to provide real liquidity. You can't get out of the system. You can move from bank to bank. You can move from stock to stock, maybe even stock to bonds. But you can't get your cash out because there's not enough cash to do it if we all try it at the same time, or even a significant percentage of us try it at the same time. No sufficient liquidity. Let's take a break for some commercial announcements. Melody and I will be right back. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Many of you may have watched the Democrat debate last night.
Hope not.
We talked about it yesterday in anticipation, and we'd read a report where they were apparently going to try to protect Hillary, and people were afraid that she wouldn't do a good job and so on. And it, much to my surprise, Hillary did a good job last night, and I don't like her. Right? I think it's an embarrassment for this nation to nominate someone who is so obviously immoral and perhaps even criminal and perhaps even treasonous, and we're in supporting her run for the presidency. The whole thing is, I'm not saying that we haven't had and perhaps routinely had immoral and unethical people in the White House and the rest of the major political positions in government. I understand that, but she doesn't even make any bones about it. I mean, her attitude is, what does it matter? Nevertheless, she was competent. She was she's confident. She did a good job. She surprised me in her presentation. And there's no doubt that of everybody that was there, she won the debate. She came out strongest, in my opinion. Bernie Sanders, who I was watching in particular, I was particularly interested in Bernie Sanders because I think he's he's got a shot at something extraordinary if he can capture the unemployed in this country.
He's disgusting.
Well, my point, he came off to me a little bit feeble at times.
He's
a little bit too mature. He could be a wonderful professor, for example. He could be a professor emeritus, teaching one subject or another in college, and everybody's, oh, I just love Bernie Sanders. But he doesn't come off as a leader. He doesn't have the strength to be a leader. Martin O'Malley, he looks like he's sent from central casting to play the part of the president. All right, he's got the look. He might have the brains. I don't know if he does or he doesn't.
He destroyed Maryland. Maryland has some of the strongest gun control laws on the books next to New York. So, yeah, O'Malley, yeah.
Well, and in any case, right now it's still Hillary and Bernie Sanders. But if I had to guess, Hillary has increased her advantage in the polls. I would guess that Bernie loses 2 or 3%. I'd guess that Hillary might gain 2 or 3%. She came out on top, in my opinion, and I don't like her, but that's the truth of the matter.
You know what?
As far as I was able to see it.
She was well rehearsed, she was scripted, and she should win an Oscar, not the presidential nomination. And, you know, I turned it on for about 5 minutes when they were asking them. Well, Bernie Sanders comes out and says, we don't want to talk about the emails. That's not important.
That.
And then they came out with the question, what is important? Do black lives matter or do all lives matter? And there was only one who said all lives matter, and he barely got it out of his mouth. All of them said Black Lives Matter. And to me, I can't even imagine how much damage that could have caused in people's minds that think in that type of a violent manner. It's like, no, all lives matter. And it's just the same. It's just that, you know,
the
division and the, you know, all the violence that we've seen of late, you know, from the shooting of the policeman to just everywhere. And statements like that that came out of these people's mouths only made it worse. And I turned it off. I couldn't even. It was just disgusting.
You just have a low threshold of pain, don't you?
No. To me, they are all evil. And that is my opinion. And I couldn't watch it.
Well, I don't know that they're all evil exactly, but I was surprised. Again, Hillary did a good job. It wasn't something I wanted to see, but that's what I saw.
Well, she was rehearsed and scripted, and they all protected her. So, you know, her little boy down there asking the questions, you know.
I didn't get the impression that she was scripted.
Well, of course not. That's why she should win the Oscar.
Well, I don't know what's going on. We'll watch and see, but I think one of the criticisms that came in is that the four men that were in the debate pretty much gave Hillary a pass, and they let her get away with some things. Nobody challenged her on the character issue. She was allowed to skate by.
One guy did talk about character.
No, I know, but he didn't talk about Hillary's.
But they all mumbled it. You know, they all talk very loud and very strong. They were
Everybody's trying to be polite here, and if they're going to do that, Hillary's going to walk away with us. Because Hillary's ready to come down. She's like a Muslim. She'll chop the head off anybody who gets in her way. And the rest of these guys are trying to play nice. You can't play nice with someone who's chopping heads. All right? That's a dumb idea. That just doesn't work, and Hillary is inclined. You know. So we'll watch and see.
Okay.
The next debate, it may be that these four guys are more aggressive in relation to Hillary, if the four are even still there. I don't see why Lincoln Chafee is hanging around. I mean, he doesn't look like he has, to talk about an improbable character running for the White House. Mr. Webb, he's a candidate for the vice presidency, perhaps. I can see why he'd take a shot at it, but, you know, he's a credible candidate, but I think he's vice presidential material. O'Malley, he to me is the guy who might catch fire, but he's going to have to do a better job than what he did last night.
Well, everybody talks about O'Malley being the nominee in the next election. I mean, that is the one that he will...
2020. Mm-hmm. All right.
They weren't even sure he would run this election because he was really eyeing the 2020. So I think you'll see more from him, you know.
Well, then he is anticipating, if he's running in 2020 for president, he is anticipating that Hillary does not get elected this year.
Or maybe he'll be vice president.
Well, I don't know what's going to happen here. It's interesting.
I mean, as strong as he is on gun control and everything, he'd make a, you know, she would, you know.
He's got the look. He looks like a president. You know, again, he looks like he's sent
it would
from
be,
Central
it would be hard
Bernie Sanders
to beat.
Does not inspire confidence.
It might be hard to beat a Clinton and O'Malley.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, this is such a peculiar race.
Anyway.
Because it seems to change almost on a weekly basis. You know, 4 years ago, you could have your opinion of who's going to run and who's going to be elected and the rest of that sort of thing. And maybe you're right, maybe you're wrong. But right, this election, it seems to be changing on almost a weekly, if not daily, basis.
You know
this
what I think it is?
Contest.
You know, I'm not so sure that the people are actually making the contest any different than what it has been in the past. But what I do think is different, I think people are angry. I think people are tired. And I think there's an emotional thing going on, for a lack of a better way to explain. And I think it is these emotions, because we see the things that are on, I mean, just like the violence across this country. And you know what? Maybe the violence across this country isn't any more than what it was a year ago or 2 years ago.
I think they overrate it.
But
I think
yet
there's
it is,
less violence here than there are in most countries.
But yet we seem to attach, you know, ourselves to this, and
well,
because
government tries to attach us, mm-hmm. to it. They try to convince us and condition us. Think, oh my gosh, right. Somebody shot somebody. Look, there's 320 million people in this country. We shoot a couple of people every so often out of 320 million. It's not a lot, right? There are a number of countries. Most countries have higher rates of homicide than we do. But yet the government says, all right, all the guns. Well, we've talked about it before, but there's a document that has come to be called the Preamble to the Bill of Rights. You can look it up yourself. Google it, Preamble to Bill of Rights. It tells you the purpose of the Bill of Rights, and it is to prevent misconstruction or abuse of the powers of the Constitution. That's what it says, all right? It was a document that was attached to the proposed amendments back in 17, what was it, 81?
I didn't bring up the violence to, you know, to make it a gun issue. I brought it up as the connection of the emotion. The people are emotional. They're agitated. And I do believe there is something going on in that. And I do believe it's because of our economy. And I do believe it's because, you know, people aren't busy enough and they're struggling. Maybe we have reached a point where it's going to break. And I think that's.
Well, when you talk about violence, it's easy to point a finger and say, oh my gosh, somebody's pulling the trigger on a firearm. Okay, that's one kind of violence. But there's another kind of violence. And it's the kind of violence where people in positions of power can bribe congressmen and senators to enact laws that allow people in positions of power to take more money from the poor and the middle class. The middle class and the poor have been subjected to a kind of violence. Nobody used a gun. It's a polite kind of violence that's done with laws and bribery and words and pieces of paper, but it's violence just the same. And I'm going to speculate that they understand. They've been subjected to a certain amount of violence, and all the money's been going to the top tenth of a percent. And they know it's wrong. And it's not just a mystery. It's not just, gee, isn't that odd? This is evidence of a kind of extortion. The people, majority of the people in this country, are being subjected to that violence. And it's happened with the complicity of our Congress and our Senate and our presidents. And we are finally kind of hitting a wall and saying we can't take any more violence. It's not just a matter of I can't deal with low wages or unemployment. I can't deal with the injustice. I can't deal with the violence that I can sense. I might not be able to articulate. I might not be able to explain, but it's making me angry. And I'm speaking as if I were one of the people that are going through this thing. They understand on an intuitive basis, or perhaps they understand on an intuitive basis. They've been victimized. They want it stopped. And if government isn't going to do it, they're prepared to do something about it.
There was a recent survey by a Chapman University. And it was a random sample to rate the level of fear for 88 different fear options across a variety of domains like crime and natural disasters. And based on their findings, the top 10 for 2015 were number one, corruption of government officials was 58%, yeah. Cyber terrorism 44%, corporate mm-hmm. tracking of personal information 44%, terrorist attacks 44%, government tracking of personal information 41%, bio warfare 40%, identity theft 39%, economic collapse 39%, running out of money in the future 37%, and credit card fraud 36%. So.
And the number one was their concern
the corruption
about the government, 58% corruption of
government.
This is a live issue, ladies and gentlemen. Government doesn't want to talk about this. They want to stand up here and pretend they're all a bunch of honest people and they're all working for our benefit. They're not doing that. You know, in the preamble to the Constitution, it talks about providing for the general welfare of the American people. The general welfare, right? It's not, it was never intended to provide special interests. The special interest legislation is not in the name of the general welfare. That's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to be passing laws that help all of us. And what they're doing instead is say, look, somebody give me some money, I'll pass a law, and you can make some money off the peons. The peons being the people who don't give money to Congress and to the Senate.
Well, you know, there was always corruption, but it wasn't in our faces. And now it's like the corruption is just, I mean...
Yeah, it's like, what are you going to do about it?
What are you going to do about it?
Yeah, I know.
You know, when, you know, and really this is, really has been in your face for the past, really, what, 10 years? Maybe 15? Really with, you know, with some of this legislation after 9/11, where, you know, they had to get votes, so, you know, they would close everything down and you'd see the president and everybody else, you know, meeting, and you know what, I mean, it was just right there, and it's like, yeah, we'll get them to vote. We'll get their vote. Let's see what we can do with them. And it doesn't matter anymore, so.
But people are waking up to it, and they're beginning to understand, look, you can't just flip a coin and it comes up heads, 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 heads. It consistently comes up heads, and that means you lose because the coin came up heads. You begin to say, look, there's something wrong with that coin. There's something wrong with the guy that's flipping that coin because we always lose, and a handful of people always win, and it's not right. People are beginning to get a handle on that. They're beginning to sense it, understand it, and it points to some serious political repercussions, if not in 2016, then in 2018 or 2020. But people have had enough of this, and we'll have to talk about it more.
If a Democrat,
because we'd be out of time.
If a Democrat gets elected, folks, you better go out there and buy every ounce of gold and silver that you can, because prices will skyrocket. I mean, it will. I mean, if they hold it together until the election, if they hold it together,
yeah, no, waits that long. All right, folks, we're out of time. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. Have a good evening. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye bye.
All night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.